Today is off-season Survivor podcast, counting down the 15 greatest Survivor cameos of all time. It is sponsored by True Car. If you're looking to buy a car, you probably are familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you really want is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you exactly the true price on the cars, just like the ones you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? That's because True Car shows you what other people paid for the car that you want, and your certified dealer knows this. And that's how they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with one of our Survivor off-season podcasts. And we really have not gotten into it here in this off-season between Survivor 35 and 36. I've done long-form interviews with Ben and with Chrissy, and we've got another one scheduled with Dr. Mike for later this week. But it wouldn't be the Survivor offseason if we didn't at least delve into one of our famous offseason podcasts. And we have a man here today who has gone through and compiled a list of every single Survivor cameo in the history of pop culture, anything that a Survivor has done after they've left the show Survivor. And he's here to talk about his top 15 of all time. Please welcome to the podcast. He is the host of the Hail Satire podcast, Vic Shutty. Vic, how are you?
Rob, I'm getting weak at the knees. You're just saying my name over here. I can't believe it.
Vic, you reached out to me a while ago with this idea, and it might have been even last summer. And I said, okay, well, let's hold off when we get to the off season. I think it might have been right around the time that Survivor 35 preseason was starting. It's okay, let's table this. And so you have been hard at work over these last few months going through every different, TV show. You watched every single show that was ever made, right?
I quit my jobs. I broke up with everyone I'd ever known. I watched TV shows, films, internet content, talk show appearances, the works.
Okay. And you've gone through and you've made this list. What made you interested in this subject?
There's a man. And maybe he'll appear somewhere on this list. But Jervis Peterson, Survivor Zone, he has a very dedicated YouTube channel called Jerv TV, compiling every moment he ever had in the limelight outside of Survivor.
Yeah, many.
I didn't realize the level at which the Survivor fame really bled into every aspect of entertainment. So I'm an entertainment freak, Rob. I thought this is a good project, and I started doing it, and I thought maybe you're the guy who would also laugh at this.
Yeah, I want my Jerv TV. That's what all the kids are saying. And so here we are, and we're ready to talk about all of this. Vic, could you tell us a little bit about yourself when you are not looking for Survivor cameos in pop culture?
Sure. I am a writer and a comedian living in Houston, Texas. I love the radio, Rob. So I've been podcasting since 2012 on Hail Satire. And that has gotten me to interview a number of great comedy people like, you know, David Spade and Will Forte, Josh Gad, Survivor fan Adam Scott. So I love the podcast. And Rob, I basically grew up with you. So I've been listening since South Pacific.
In Wanta? Oh.
Yeah. So this is just, it's very cool. And, comedy and I write plays. That's my life. But Survivor, it's a passion.
Yes. I saw on your YouTube channel, you have like a, 4-hour podcast talking about the history of comedy with Survivor historian and author of the Funny 115, Mario Lanza.
Right. Yeah. We're both FOMs, friends of Mario. He gave me 4 hours. Yeah, I think so.
FOM.
That's official. That's canon. But Mario gave me like 4 hours to pick his brain about the origins of the Funny 115, a little bit on the Survivor historians, and just what makes him tick as a comedy writer. He's a brilliant guy.
We're going to get into this list that you've put together. I have the clips here for me set up on the computer, so I have an idea of what's going to be in the show, but not necessarily in what order you're going to call for this stuff. So why don't you just take it away with what exactly you were looking for? What makes up a great moment in your mind?
Well, I put some rules down, Rob, to make sure I just didn't get lost in the weeds, because, you know, I looked at hundreds of pieces of footage. So I put a couple rules down. One of them, it has to be after Survivor, after their season aired. So apologies to Pinner and the Rickshaw. There's plenty of great stuff before Survivor.
You don't have any of the film works of Brian Heidick?
No. Family show, right? Family right. show. So nothing too dirty. Apologies to both Jenna Lewis and Jenna Maraska. And sadly, no props. I kept props off this list entirely. This is just the castaways. Rob, I had one goal here.
Yes.
One, it's to be positive, to have a fun time. But two, I want to beautify the RHAP soundboard if I could. So I pulled a lot of things that I think could be used in many different ways. And the soundboard will grow richer, hopefully, after this podcast.
Richard Hatch?
Yeah, indeed. Okay. The winner is Rich.
All right, so let's get into the list. Do you have an honorable mention? Are we going from 15 to 1? How are we doing this?
There's two. Yeah, let's go 15 to 1. There's too many honorable mentions to name. Maybe I'll drop a couple just things that didn't make the list
throughout.
Yeah,
and just to be put it out there, so Vic first came to me with this idea. And what was it? Would you have 100 clips?
I found 100 clips, Rob.
Okay, so I said, okay, well, let's start small. Let's start with like 15. And then if people like this idea, we can always go back and do more. Let it be a series. But I say, you know, this is the pilot of this. And I'm not talking about Terry Dietz.
I said, let's just do 100. We'll take 8 or so hours. You can cut it up. 8 episodes. It's a mini series. Put it out in the summer months when no one's going to care. Yeah. But
it's
I understand.
A lot.
So, we can start at 15, but, you know, there's so many things. I guess I'll give a shout out. Jerv TV started this thing. There's one thing that didn't make the list, but it was too crazy not to bring up. Jervis has a cartoon series on his YouTube channel,
Rob. Does?
He does. He, back in the year, I'm guessing 2000 or close to it, 2001, there was a 3-episode of There Goes the Nation. Jervis plays, can you believe it, an African-American president. Darwin speaks, and so wow. Jervis voices the character. It's very strange. It didn't make my list, but it is crazy that that exists.
Okay, and I could watch that on Jerv TV, the YouTube channel?
I think so, yeah. Okay. That's where I found it.
Okay, I'll put a link to that.
Couldn't erase it from my brain. Okay, but you want to get into it, Rob?
Yes.
We only have so much time.
Yes.
We're still going to go 8 hours, but we're just going to do 15 items now. All right, let's start at number 15. This one I found, I'm very happy because I don't think this one has been as publicized as other things on this list. It stars winner of Survivor Kara Moen, John Cochran, in an episode of a web series called Driving Arizona.
Is that like Raising Arizona?
I think it might be a play on that, but basically the premise of the show is you got, a couple of slackers, clerks-like figures who run a taxi cab van service in the middle of the Arizona desert, and they have various celebrity cameos, and in episode 4, you got John Cochran in the van.
Okay.
So the sketch itself, Rob, is actually very funny. This is a legitimately produced, comedy series. It's written, I think, by Mr. John Cochran's co-writer from The Millers, Anthony Pellicchio, Dylan Tenaris, and John Ahert, or Joe Ahert. And so this is actually a very funny stuff. What we have here, though, it reveals a lot about the Cochran that we've seen on TV. And so John actually explains what he did with all his money, all his winnings from Survivor.
Yes. Is he playing himself in this web series?
Yes. And okay. like a Curb Your Enthusiasm style, invented version of John Cochran.
Okay.
Well, I did open a chain of high-end water parks in Southeast Asia. Figured it'd be the next Starbucks, but with, climate change and rising sea levels, most of my parks ended up flooded. Now I owe the People's Republic of China upwards of $6 million in punitive damages.
Wow, that's a bummer.
Can you believe that? I didn't know that's how it went.
Now, what is good that these people like drive an Uber around and they pick up different people and then that's the show? It's like Taxicab Confessions.
Yeah, but it is scripted. So maybe Taxicab Confessions was scripted too. But this is definitely the purpose of the show is not the person in the back of the van. It's the wacky people in front. In this episode, there's some good performances by Nicholas Daly Clark and Dana DiLorenzo. They're a couple that's
no relation to Danielle DiLorenzo.
I don't think so, but maybe. That'd be a good catch.
Yeah.
So it's a funny, it's 11 minutes of a short. It's the final episode. Maybe Cochran ended the series, but it's the final episode of Driving Arizona. And it's only available, Rob, on Vimeo.com.
Okay. How did you find out about Driving Arizona?
One of the few things that really struck me as a good idea is when I was researching this list, I went through every single Survivor's IMDb page.
Wow.
And this is where
every
I found this
deep pool. Every single one, like 500 people?
I went to the IMDb page, clicked on cast, and went one at a time, Rob.
Wow.
Now I'm feeling bad. You're making me feel bad about the time.
No, this is really impressive research. No wonder you had 100 things.
So this one, I do not think this one has been on the Survivor Reddit yet. I think this one might be an exclusive for the RHAP universe.
Do you have links to all of these?
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah,
we'll put them in the show notes.
Yeah.
So what was it about this clip that appealed to you? You just said it was funny to hear Cochran talk about water parks?
It was cool to see Cochran actually get to act. I think Cochran is one of the few people from the Survivor cinematic universe that has the chops to be a real, like, comedy character actor. And here, Cochran, he's very good.
Didn't you see him fighting with Will Arnett that time?
Exactly. So this could be, you know, the Greg Garcia effect.
My mom loved that. She said, oh, that was so funny when Cochran was fighting with Will Arnett.
Yeah, Will Arnett, you know, he'd be a good Michael Cera stand-in.
Sure.
So Cochran did a good job here. And, you know, I just like seeing funny people get a good script occasionally. And this is a pretty good script.
All right. What else is on the list, Vic?
All right. I can't forget, Rob, here. For all these clips, I did pull specific soundboard things for you and your conversations with Steven and Tyson and all these guys. The Cochran one I pulled, it's called, you can play it. It's the SB one. This is when you've had too much intel from one of your guests.
Oh, thank you for all that information.
Okay.
That's going to shut somebody down very quickly.
I'll play it for Steven. I have to listen. Cochran is telling me to do something.
That rivalry continues to grow. Okay, for number 14, this one is a quickie. It stars one of the, I think, forgotten legends of the series, Survivor. We have to go all the way back to Guatemala when we have Judd the Doorman appearing in an internet short called The Quest for the Rainbow Bagel.
The Quest for the Rainbow Bagel. Okay, what is that about? Is that like a Dungeons & Dragons thing?
It could be like a slight spinoff. No, this was actually like an advertisement for the Cerebral Palsy Foundation.
Okay.
The story here is a guy named Zach Anir. He is trying to show how difficult New York City can be for a person in a wheelchair. And he has a quest to go to Brooklyn to get a rainbow bagel. And along the way, he runs into Judd on the job. And Judd has a couple requests.
So once again, this is Judd the Doorman from Survivor Guatemala playing himself in a short for raising money for a charity.
Correct.
How can I help you today?
This film crew wants to send me on a solo New York adventure to get New York bagels.
And now, who is the guy that's talking in this clip?
This guy is named Zach Anir. I think he's a spokesperson for the Cerebral Palsy Foundation.
Okay. And he is looking for directions to get the bagel?
Yeah, this is a whole... the quest is him meeting people in New York City, and his first stop is Judd the Doorman. Okay. He's the first gatekeeper.
Okay.
Get bagels anywhere.
I know! They've come up with the idea that it's best to go to Brooklyn to a place...
Bagels?
Yeah. They want the rainbow bagel in Brooklyn.
The rainbow bagel. Wow, that looks pretty, though. That is a pretty bagel, I must say. Take the East Subway right to Metropolitan Avenue. And they got good bagels there, my man. Look at that.
All right.
Rainbow bagel,
I'll
baby.
Let you know how it is and if it's worth the trek.
Hey, could you bring me one back?
I will bring you one back. Thanks, yes,
buddy.
I will.
I
how long
are
you working, Judd?
I'll be here until 3. Well, are you going to be back before I leave?
Well, I can try.
Damn, man. I never ate a rainbow damn bagel before.
I just love how Judd is so presumptuous. This guy's with the camera crew and he says, hey, how about a little something for the Judd man? So this is great. So Zach, his entire episode now becomes about getting Judd a rainbow bagel. And in the final moments, he does accomplish his goal. He goes to Brooklyn, gets the bagel. But there is a hiccup. He, I guess you can show it.
I may have struggled getting this bagel today, but I didn't get this for me. I got this for my friend Judd. And friendship is what's really important. Oh, shit. I just took a bite of Judd's bagel. I barely knew the guy. Who cares?
That was not friendship. Fizz.
No.
Gumpy.
It's not right. Poor Judd just wanted a little bit of that bagel, man. And stupid Zach, he took a bite.
Who wants a rainbow bagel, though?
I mean, it's probably just like a regular bagel, but it looks pretty.
Yeah, but it'll change the color of everything that comes out of you.
Gross.
No
gross, my friend.
No thanks. I'll pass.
Yeah, but it's just great to see Judd. You know, Judd was one of those great ones. He never got his second shot. I think his thunder was stolen by Shane the next season. But he's so funny. I love Judd.
And I hope that one day he did get that rainbow bagel.
I bet he just left his shift at 3 and said, I'm going to Brooklyn. What am I doing?
Yeah, I'm out of here. I'm getting a damn bagel, man.
All right. So you want to move on to number 13?
Yes, please.
All right, Rob, this one, you know, I pulled some clips from it, but I don't know if it's as good as the legend of it. This is so strange. There was a contestant in a little season of Survivor called Survivor Kagiyan. He went out early. His name was David Sampson. And I think he's known for the sports world, right? He has some connection to that. Am I right there?
He was the son-in-law of the former owner of the Miami Marlins before they sold it to Derek Jeter, and he's really run it into the ground.
So he is like a local celebrity in Miami, at least, especially after Survivor made his face so famous.
Sure.
Well, he tried to parlay that one episode on Kagiyan into a career in acting, and he plays somebody I think we're both familiar with in the play Not Ready for Prime Time. David Sampson plays Lorne Michaels.
Oh, wow.
It's so strange, right? Those two should never cross, and yet David, he is the star of this play done at the Florida New Theater Playhouse.
And so what is the play? Like some sort of reenactment of the creation of Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, I think the writers, Eric J. Rodriguez and Charles A. Souther, I think they read the Live from New York book and really got inspired. And so it's really ripped from the pages of that thing. This is basically Lauren collecting the eight people that made up the first 5 years of SNL and their struggles. So you got Belushi, you know, partying too hard, and Chevy Chase being a douche. And
who played Belushi, Tony?
Oh, that'd be good. Oh, man, I'm Belushi now, man. Just stealing your impression. I apologize. But no, this is just so weird. I can't believe it happened. So I actually reached out to the writers of this play, Rob. I did some gumshoe work for you.
Yeah.
They told me no footage of the play actually exists, but I did a little more digging. The Miami Herald had actually the first 10 minutes of this play in its entirety on their website. And it's just strange. It's very filthy. A filthy tongue, David. It has in this thing a lot of four-letter words, but I guess that fits for the, you know, the rock and roll 70s.
Okay, and so this is David Sampson playing Lorne Michaels in a Miami play. That's what we're about to hear.
Yeah, if you like.
Live from New York, it's Not Ready for Prime Time.
And that is the cold open that I chose to begin the biggest risk I had ever taken in my life. And that is the show I wanted to produce. Absurd, young, and hip. And if you didn't like it, get the out of my way. Wait, can I say that?
Well, you're the producer, Lauren, so I guess you can pretty much say whatever you want.
Right. I'm Lauren Michaels. I'm in charge of getting the cast together for a new comedy show at 11:30 p.m. on NBC. They practically had to beg me to take this job.
I'll tell you who's not going to be one of the Not Ready for Primetime players. Garrett Adelstein.
He has an idol, so I think he gets on 8H just by necessity, right?
I guess so.
So
David Sampson.
Rob, the reviews were mixed on Mr. Sampson's work here. The Miami Herald said that David radiated a presence and confidence undoubtedly accrued during his day job. But the Miami News Times called the show a fail and that Sampson is long suffering as he tries to herd some unruly cats. Really, you know, mixed reviews. The Rotten Tomatometer on this play is it's mixed.
So sadly for David Sampson, that did not work out. But look, maybe after his baseball career, his executive career is over, maybe he's going to get back into theater.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, watching his work, I think he has potential to really audition for SNL one of these days. He'd be good.
Yeah, we'll get back on.
I don't know his characters, but I think he could do it.
Yeah, okay. All right, there's David Sampson, number 13 on the list. Okay, what is number 12, Vic?
All right, so number 12, we had to call an audible here. This one was this was in the 100. It was all the way up to my 30, and then I kind of lost it along the way. But Rob vetoed one of my, my prized possessions here.
You know
so.
What? There's some people that I just say, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't want to deal with this person. So I with apologies to Vic, I said, I got to cut this person. This person is too big of a pain in the you know what, and I don't want to deal with them. So this person, you just lost some free publicity.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's fine, because there were so many good choices.
You're too much of a pain in the neck.
Hey, I'm not saying that you are, and that's fine. I don't want Rob to have any headaches,
yeah.
Any Twitter battles. So here we have a really good clip. This thing is this guy is a professional entertainer, so it's not surprising that he's putting out some good content on the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about TEOS star Bill Posley.
Oh.
Yes, Bill Posley himself, One World's Own. This podcast is out the window. He has so many original miniseries on his profile. Yeah. There's characters. He's very talented, Rob.
He's very talented, and yeah, he has a whole web series about a number of different issues. I followed his career closely, Vic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah, he has the one about his newest series. It's not what I'm pulling from, but it's about being bisexual in Hollywood. Very interesting.
Yeah.
You do not see that every day.
Like, yeah, nobody believes him.
Yeah, but this one, it's close to my heart, Rob, because I'm an improviser, and I know you've been taking those little classy classes out there in the land of dreams.
You dabbled?
I want to do some with you. Maybe we can do a charity show or something.
Could be fun. Can we get David Sampson?
Yeah,
maybe
I think
Sampson can pull together all of the, you know, funniest Survivor improvisers and like get a show going. Nobody thinks it'll work, but David Sampson believes in us.
He's got a lot of time on his hands now, right? So I think that could happen. But OK, so Bill has an entire series about the improv world in L.A. And all these things are funny. Usually they have a little bit of the cursing in them, so I try not to pull it. I think this is the cleanest one, and it might be the most clever. This is Bill Posley and his improv partner picking up some ladies with improv technique.
Yo, can I get a suggestion?
Yep. This is my monologue.
Cut to.
Yes, please
sit down. Tag out.
Jarmando.
Straight man.
Edit and scene.
So, are you signed up for level 6?
Wednesday?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Hey, ladies, we talking about signing up for classes or what?
Mm-hmm.
Initiation. This here, Matthew.
Yes, and this is William.
Matt is the type of person who works for Lyft. He's an entrepreneur who makes his own hours. Boom. Gifted.
Yes, and Bill's the kind of person who reads the ingredients on the back of his food before he eats it. Boom. Endowed.
If that's true, what else is true? You know what I'm saying?
We actually need to sell tickets, so you're blocking the line.
Edit. You ladies are fine, if you know what I'm saying.
Cut to 5 minutes from now.
That's me making out with both of you guys, spinning, and then making out with you again.
Also, he's wearing a tie, Bart Simpson pajamas, a blindfold, and he's holding this whip.
Looks like I'm the absurd guy, which makes you two straight.
Bill, you thinking what I'm thinking?
Absolutely.
One, two, three, vagina. One, two, three, sex. One, two, three, orgy.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Blackout.
Huh?
Wow, Bill Posley nailed it again.
Were you following all those references there? That's a lot of improv jargon.
A lot of improv humor there. I was surprised that Bill didn't have any of his trademark characters that he, from his character reel.
Yeah, so get Samson to be like Bill Posley's manager and get him on SNL. He really has the chops.
Well, Bill Posley, he is very prolific as a creator. Maybe not as a survivor, but as a creator, he's keeps putting out a lot of content.
Yeah. So there you go. Love Bill Posley. You want to move on to number 11, Rob?
Yes, please.
All right. So this is probably what a lot of people are expecting from this list. Back in the old days, before even you, Rob Cesternino, played Survivor, the cameos, they came very ample, I suppose, because the Australia people and the Borneo people really got the lay of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so many things to pick from that era. So I tried to be selective. This one is just everything working together. Back in the year 2001, the Hollywood Squares got all 16 Survivor Australia castaways to come on for a week of comedy and mayhem in Hollywood.
Yes, very exciting, both as a Survivor fan and a game show fan for the Hollywood Squares with the Survivor castaways. So what are we going to listen to here?
Yeah, there's so much content here. They do basically 2.5 hours, you know, with 5 episodes. So really, I tried to pull out the best stuff. A lot of it you kind of expect. They're mean to Jerry. They love Colby. They're, you know, impressed that Tina was invisible and then somehow won the game. But I think there's 2 stars here. On the Hollywood Squares, Rob. Hollywood Showdown for 2 people with nicknames. It was Kentucky Joe and Maryland Mad Dog Hershey.
Mad Dog didn't have to share a box with anybody?
Mad Dog did have to share a box with Tina. They made a meal out of that. So
he said that Tina is a constellation. So that was good. You know, that's a good pairing, Tina and Mad Dog, because, you know, Tina is so nice and sweet, and then Mad Dog is like the sass.
Yeah, yeah. And Mad Dog, you know, just like in the Australia reunion, she was on her A game here.
Did she have a didgeridoo?
You know, she might have, Rob. She might have.
Did she take her teeth out?
She did it all. She wanted to please the crowd, and especially host Tom Bergeron, very impressed with Mad Dog's style.
Right.
So what we have here, it's the longest clip of this entire show. You tell me when you're done with it. But I pulled the best Mad Dog moments from her week on Hollywood Squares.
Okay, so this is a montage, or this is a just one clip?
It's a super cut, so I pulled together, and it's a montage.
Hey, Tina, remember when you betrayed Mad Dog? Okay, go ahead.
Who said that?
That's Caroline Ray of Sabrina fame.
What's she doing there?
Well, this is the Hollywood Squares, so the Survivor contestants are competing alongside Whoopi Goldberg, Gilbert Godfrey, Caroline Ray, and Brad Garrett.
So it wasn't all Survivors. They had a bunch of Survivors in the Squares.
So, yeah, the Squares, they're very smart about this. They got the stars, Colby and Tina. They do multiple episodes. But a lot of these people, they get one off. But Mad Dog, she finds a way to work away into 3 episodes.
Excuse me. Marilyn? Marilyn?
Yeah?
Would you mind...
blow it right out your ear.
Never mind.
Are they like doing skits like at the top of the show? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Get David Sampson on the phone.
This is very old Hollywood. Yeah, every episode has different skits, and they're all hilarious.
Drink.
Tina and Mad Dog, please.
Tina and Mad Dog. I want to just mention, before the show, Mad Dog introduced me to your sister, whom you call...
Well, there's Mad Dog, and then there's my sister, Rabid Dog.
Okay.
Dog sisters.
All right, you two. Mad Dog, now you seldom see our police without one, but it wasn't until last year that the average London Bobby carried what?
Oh, now... being a retired cop after 26 years in the district, I should know this.
What do scientists say is the function of the appendix?
Well, when I went to school, I had a desire to be a doctor, so I did a little studying in this area. I think... that's to stimulate the libido.
She's good.
Mad Dog. Wow.
Right. Mad Dog brought her A game. And they should replace Bergeron with Mad Dog, I think.
That's one of my regrets, that I've never gotten a chance to meet Mad Dog Hershey or Rabid Dog, even, for that matter. I would settle for meeting Rabid Dog at this point.
Yeah, blood versus water with Rabid and Mad. I think that's a ratings bonanza.
Rob, I'd love to meet you one day, but sadly, I've got my appendix out, and that's going to change everything.
I think she's got like 4 appendixes, because I imagine her libido is going crazy.
Yeah, remember they showed that young picture of Mad Dog at the Australia finale? Yeah.
Yeah, hot dog.
Wait, she really got a lot of mileage out of those didgeridoo lessons that she picked up.
Rob, I don't know if you have time, but at the end of that clip, Mad Dog sings a song to the audience. Maybe it's a good closer or something. I don't know. Mad Dog's so good.
Okay, well, since we're here, it's at the end of the supercut.
Yeah.
Okay.
Way down upon the Herberg River, far, far away. Sand in every nook and cranny, pants wet all day. All the world is round the corner, watching us everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I've been squatting on the national telly now. I just don't care.
Vic, could we get Mad Dog Hershey and the Wand off maybe for Ghost Island?
I think she'd be good, yeah. she was ready to perform in every capacity they'd let her, so I think she'd take a podcast.
Yeah, boy, she's a real ham. They need to get her on the David Samson SNL. Samson Nightline.
Samson L. Oh, it's great. Well, you know, I give them credit because they really saw the talent. She gets like one spot on the first episode, and by the end of the week, she's the star.
Yeah, no, they knew it. They knew. Yeah. She lasted more episodes on Hollywood Squares than she did on Survivor.
Exactly. And, you know, the audience turns on Tina. How quickly people forget Tina won the thing, but they all love Mad Dog.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's other stuff from this, Rob. I don't know if we need to play it, but Kentucky Joe, he has a great run here. He impressed Bergeron. He is the best bluffer there is. He really fools the world. And
well, he told people he was a farmer and he's like a professor, right?
Is that true? I didn't know that.
I think he was like he did something like that.
Yeah, the country guys, they always trick you saying, oh, I'm just a simple country. They're brilliant. They get you.
So this is a question for Kentucky Joe.
Sure, I did another supercut of the Kentucky Joe questions. When you're done, you stop playing it.
And Lieutenant, your turn.
Let's go with Roger Bingham for the block.
Kentucky Joe! All right, Roger. Yeah, you've spent time on the farm, Roger. What famous swine lived on Hoggett Farm?
I know the answer to that one. I've raised a lot of hogs in my time. That was Arnold Ziffel.
All right, Rob, do you think he's lying?
Well, you said he's the best bluffer.
I will agree.
That was Babe the Pig from his two movies. Can't give you that one, Desiree. Roger,
is he always bluffing?
He bluffs five times. He tells the truth twice, but you never know when.
I guess you never know when.
Institution recently saw new employees with an ad that read, "How would you like to make some real money?"
That was run in the Wall Street Journal. The answer is the New York Stock Exchange.
Truth or lie?
Well, I mean, what do you get out of tricking the contestants on the Hollywood Squares? I mean, I feel like that if I was on the Hollywood Squares, I think I'd always try to get the question right for people. Like, do you get money if you trick these people? Like, you're supposed to be some fancy schmancy celebrity. This is somebody trying to win money on a game show. And why are you trying to screw them, Roger?
This is how you get to be a celebrity, Rob. You could learn something from Kentucky Joe over there.
By stepping on the little guy and tricking
them? Shove him down. There's only so much room.
I don't think that Kentucky Joe reads the Wall Street Journal. This is a bluff.
I disagree.
The U.S. Mint.
Yeah, okay.
There you go. You got it.
Yeah. I'll do one more.
Tony Orlando and Don had a number one hit with this tune, which gave the entire nation a new way of showing how much we missed our loved ones. What's the name of the song?
I think the answer to that one is tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Yeah.
I will agree.
That is correct. Yes. Roger in Australia, this civic.
Okay. We got it, Kentucky Joe.
He's good. He's very funny. Bergeron just puts his hands down at one point and says, I can't do it. I had the answer and I thought he was telling the truth.
Okay. Wow. Oh, okay. So watch out if Kentucky Joe is giving you some advice. That Kucha tribe, that they could sell you a bill of goods, those people.
Speaking of the Kucha tribe,
there was something in the water there.
Speaking of them, there is a fun moment. I'm not gonna go any further. but there's one point where everybody's favorite survivor, Jeff Varner, he's on the square, and yes. All the Kucha people break into the square and say, "We're taking Jeff's square." And
why?
Bergeron is just—they wanted to be part of the show. They know Jeff's the favorite, and Alicia and Scoopin' are getting their hands down there. They just want to be part of it.
They took his square just like he did with that pizza box when he walked out of Survivor Game Changers.
Exactly. To sell it on eBay.
Yeah. Okay. So what is the number 10 on our list?
All right, Rob, before we actually can get to 10, I don't have 10. This is kind of embarrassing for me.
Oh, no.
I was talking on Twitter to Survivor Zone Randy Bailey, and he said he had a lead here. So wonder, Rob, could you call Randy for us? Maybe he can give us give us the actual number 10 clip here.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, Randy isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep. I must be out or I pick up the phone. Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
Hey, Randy, you said you'd get me that video with Jillian Larson doing the dirty stuff. Maybe call me back. In the meantime, I'll do a sub for number 10. But sorry, Mr. Randy. Bye. All right. Sorry about that, Rob. That's very embarrassing. Well, how about this? As punishment to Randy, let's make our number 10 another Gaboner. She, you could say, was the queen of Gabon. And one time she appeared in a video game. Let's talk about Sugar in L.A. Noir.
Yes. OK. So L.A. Noir was a big video game. What year was that from?
2011.
OK. 2011. I even played it. That's how big of a game it was. And it had one of the guys from Mad Men, right?
Yeah, Kenny Cosgrove.
Kenny Cosgrove. And this was like his big starring vehicle. Whatever happened to Kenny Cosgrove? What did he go on to do? Did you check his IMDb?
I did not. I didn't have time. But this is amazing. So if you played this game,
his
Rob,
his brother, Rabid Cosgrove, is doing great, though.
Hashtag Rabid Cosgrove. Yeah, so if you played this game at all, Rob, you probably got to the Sugar level. I think she's like level 2 or something.
I don't think I got that far.
Anyway, so Sugar lends her likeness and her voice to this video game, and she gets to go mano-a-mano with Kenny Cosgrove himself.
Okay, here is a clip from L.A. Noir.
Take a seat, Miss Edwards. We have some questions for you to answer.
Look, I haven't done anything wrong.
Ever? We're trying to track down Albert Hammond. We have reason to believe he might be in danger. Do you know where he is?
No, I don't. I'm over Albert. I haven't seen him.
You're lying, Candy. You were in his hotel room. He came back after the fight and you weren't there. What happened?
You can't prove that I was in the room.
How do you think we found you, Candy? You wrote your name and address on a coupon.
You can think what you want, Buster. I'll take my chances. I got a few errands to run, and then I say adios to this dump.
Do you want to press charges against Arcaro?
Just get him out of here. That's all I want.
Get out, Carlo, you hump.
Yeah, Carlo.
Carlo. So this is, it's just fun. The game, the semantics of the game are you can decide if the person you're talking to is telling the truth or lying.
That chime happened.
Yeah, right. And that's, it's a really fun game. So it's cool to see Sugar. You know, you're not going to see this with other survivors. She got to be in a video game, Rob.
Yeah, yeah. That survivors got to be in the Survivor video game, and then they stopped making that. And that's all that you have to hope that you get to be like some motion capture person with Kenny Cosgrove now.
Get to be a me or something. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I did pull one thing potentially for your soundboard. This is when you're talking to Steven and he just he's talking nonsense, Rob.
You can think what you want, Buster.
I don't know. That's up to you, Rob. I'm just pulling ideas for you, my friend. Yeah.
Good. I like the options.
All right. You want to move on to number 9 here?
Number 9.
I think this one is very popular. People have seen this one, but I want even more people to see it. It stars your own co-host on News AF. Tyson Apostle is here. This is a great sketch. It's called Moving and Packing Tips by Y2K prepper Brody the Gopher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is this is recent. This is like from within the last year. Right. Here is Tyson. He is playing a character in a commercial who is a Y2K prepper. And it's a commercial for a storage unit company, I believe. And here is Tyson as Brody the Y2K prepper.
Hey, buddies. It's me, Brody the Gopher. It's December 28th, 1999. I'm just packing up my bling, gonna put in a fly storage place, and head on down to my dope Y2K bunker.
Me some Jar Jar Binks!
And if something is really valuable, maybe consider not labeling it at all. Sneaky, sneaky. That's why my Tickle Me Elmo will be hanging out in an unmarked box at the back of the storage unit. My precious Beanie Babies will go in the back too, since they'll be the preferred currency of the 21st century. Mom, get out of here! I'm making a move!
Yeah, it's a funny sketch.
It's a good sketch. Do you like
Samson,
the Tyson's
get
going?
Tyson in the show.
Yes, Tyson. Yeah, again, another good actor. Like Cochran, he could do this for real. I think Tyson's very talented.
Yeah.
But did you like Tyson going for Kelly Wentworth's weave when he said sneaky, sneaky?
So I don't know how much of it was improvised and how much of it was I don't know if he was necessarily doing a Wentworth shout out.
I think he's going. He's trying to rip it off point blank. People are going to remember Tyson saying sneaky.
Well,
sneaky.
He invented it in 1999, obviously.
There you go. The time travel element. This shit needs to go in TEOS 4.
Yeah. Gone back in time.
Yeah. Here's my, I guess, Rob, you know more about this than I do because you know Tyson so well. But is there any possibility this was like a tax write-off? All these props look like somebody's dream buy on eBay, and they just have so many of them.
From what I understand, Tyson knows somebody that had a storage unit company, and they were doing a commercial, and they got Tyson to be the star of the commercial. So I don't know exactly what the production budget was for props or if they use props that were in people's storage units.
Well, it's a good thing to send to David Samson, Lauren Michaels, because he does impressions of Roseanne and Crocodile Dundee and Bugs Bunny. You heard Jar Jar Binks. He's, you know, man of a thousand voices, Tyson.
He can do it all.
So this is a great one. It just deserves to be on the list, even if you've already heard of it. There you go. Number 9.
Okay. All right. Let's go to number 8.
All right. Rob, do you believe in the theory of sunk costs?
Sunk costs fallacy, I hear.
Yeah, it is a fallacy to a certain degree, but I don't know if this next entry should be number 1 or number 30. All I know, Rob, is I spent $1 to hear it. It is an original composition by a woman who does not get her due in Survivor lore. She wrote it right after her season airs. Of course, I'm talking about Scout Cloud Lee with her song Fire Woman.
Yeah, so this is an original song by Scout. And she is going to be performing this. Where did you buy it?
I bought this off iTunes with my
Farmer's
own money.
Market.
I should have traded something, a barter system potentially. I know, yeah, Scout lives on a farm. This is called Home on the Ranch, the album. So I could have traded like a sheep or something, maybe.
Okay, so this was on iTunes and you bought it for $1. The track or this is the album is $1?
I bought the track. I didn't sink $10 into this idea. I sunk one. And you know what? I don't know if it's good or not, but I love Scout. And so this is, you know, it's a song about the merged tribe, Alinta.
Okay, here we go. Here is Scout.
Very soon, we will master the energies of the wind.
I wasn't ready for this.
No, you're not.
I wasn't ready.
And the sun, and the tides, and gravity. And then we gonna harness for God the energies of love. And then, for the second time in the history of humanity, we will have discovered fire.
Fire woman, I am the flame. Fire woman, I am the name. Fire woman, I am the flame. Fire woman, I am the name. I
Wow.
You know, this goes on for 4 minutes, Rob. I don't know what to tell you. Are you there? Are you with me?
I'm here.
Look, she's a very talented person. In the liner notes of Home on the Ranch, she compares herself to both Tony Robbins and Will Rogers. So she said she was discovered on the set of Star Trek The Next Generation. I don't know how much of this is real, Rob.
She's discovered on the set of Star Trek The Next Generation.
What does that mean? She was...
this album was birthed when a director of the Smithsonian Institute met Scout on the set of Star Trek The Next Generation and exclaimed, "Young lady, I would cast your image in bronze and stand it up in the Smithsonian to represent the spirit of a pioneering woman of America today."
Wait, but the fact that she was discovered, I mean, was she on a show? Is she in an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation? Weird to say I was discovered on a film set.
You got to do a post-show rewatch of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah,
to find
tell me
Scout.
Where she is. I'll do a whole podcast about that episode. Song starts out like pretty weird, like it's a witch's spell, and then it goes into like a rock ballad.
Yeah, it feels like she's inspired very much by Meatloaf and Bat Out of Hell, because it does have the howl at the wolf at the beginning, and then it turns into just a wonderful Scout pop ballad.
Could Scout potentially collaborate with Mad Dog Hershey?
Oh, see, I would, yeah. That's what you have a podcast for, Rob. Forget all these post-game interviews.
Right.
I want this.
Rob, we are not gonna even bother with your stupid Wandoff. I'm sorry, well, Mad Dog.
Isn't Wanda having, you know, trouble writing songs? These guys could be your new muses.
Well, she could collaborate with Scout Dog.
So was I wrong, Rob? Should this have been number one?
Well, we have to hear the rest of the list, Vic.
I feel like I'm peeking here and I don't want to, but I just had to put Scout on here. So $1, Firewoman can be yours. You good?
Okay, good. Good on Firewoman.
All right, number 7 here. This could not be missing from my list. I didn't know where it would go or if it even belongs here. But as talking about Castaway cameos post-Survivor, there's nothing crazier than the fact that Rupert Bonham debated Mike Pence in the year 2012.
Okay, set this up, Vic.
Okay, so if you don't know, Rupert, he ran for governor in his home state of, is it Indiana?
Indiana.
He ran in 2012 against a congressman and future vice president of these United States, Rob, Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
There was no incumbent, apparently.
Yeah,
I guess that person stepped down. So Rupert, he runs as a libertarian. And I got to tell you, Rob, I watched 3.5 hours of Rupert debating. I watched all his campaign stops on YouTube and through interviews, and I couldn't find anything to make fun of him about. I really expected this to be a goldmine number one.
Yeah.
But Rupert's a bit like Jesus. You can't mock what he has to say. I'm taking the Monty Python route here. You can't mock this guy, so you can only mock the situation. It's strange that he did this, but overall, I walked away saying, Rupert, you know,
not bad.
He really does care about his state. So, and this is very moving. So I did pull the Rupert ad, but really there's only one soundbite that I think will have life in the Rob Has a Podcast universe.
Okay, so you want to hear Rupert for governor ad?
Sure.
Okay, here's Rupert's campaign ad for his gubernatorial bid back in 2012.
I'm Rupert Bonham, libertarian candidate for governor of Indiana, and I want to say thank you to everyone out there that's helped me spread that word. I don't have the millions. I've got thousands to show. We don't have to buy the election. We can earn the election. I've been out there every day for the last year and a half, talking to people, seeing what's happening in our wonderful state of Indiana, and seeing there are so many of us out there struggling to figure out how we're going to have a better future. I'm standing up for all of us. It's our time to take back control. It's our time to be counted. It's our time for every one of us to have that voice. And we've got our word out there. We've got a few more days to let people know. I'm running for governor, and I will stand up for all of us. Check out rupertforgovernor.com. Let me know you're out there. I am Rupert Bonham, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Rupert for Governor.
It's amazing, right? The
We've
fact that this
got
exists.
A movement. We're going underground. We're getting the word out. As long as
yes,
the tide doesn't
can.
Come in.
The tide's coming for Washington.
Yeah. Okay. Now, and again, you know, this speaks to, I've mentioned on the podcast that I've been contacted by Laura Bonham that Rupert is currently locked out of his Twitter account and he needs to get back on. I'm starting to think that maybe there are forces at play that don't want Rupert to get the message out.
Yeah, this is a conspiracy that goes up to the highest, highest reaches.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rupert could really battle the president at this point for Twitter dominance. Maybe maybe Rupert tweets are the answer to this country.
Well, he did do battle with Vice President Pence way back when in 2012. And I know that's one of the clips that you have.
This is very moving, Rob. It's not as funny as you want it to be. Mike just says Rupert's a good dude.
Okay. Here is a clip of Rupert from the 2012 gubernatorial debate versus Mike Pence.
Mr. Pence, 2 minutes.
Thank you, John. And I really want to commend you for raising this issue in this governor's debate, Rupert. And I do want to commend you for the work you've done on behalf of the youth in central Indiana. Guy wins a national television show. He decides to come back and help kids. I find that very moving. And I'm very impressed that you've raised this issue.
Vice President Pence, I must warn you that you are, this is fake news, sir. Rupert did not win a reality show. Careful. Tread lightly, Vice President Pence. You are spreading fake news.
Well, we know the money is what talks in Washington. So maybe he just realized Rupert got a million. Maybe he won some backwards way, like America votes or something.
So yeah, Rupert did not win a reality show. So I don't know if anybody showed Mike Pence America's Tribal Council, or he couldn't quite follow the format of what was going on there. But yeah, Rupert did not win. He did not win Survivor.
He thinks Survivor takes place on a soundstage in L.A. and the audience votes, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
He thinks Survivor's Big Brother.
No.
Anyway,
totally different.
Rupert, I think he's got a real presence in the Survivor world. His what he says has sway with its listeners. And so, Rob, I think I want to add this to your soundboard. Whenever you make a statement that you believe should be backed up by the one and only Rupert, you can play this.
I am Rupert Bonham, and I approve this message.
Well, if he approves the message, yeah, that would be fair.
Yeah, you'll be the knowingest know-it-all for the rest of time with that behind you.
Vic, can I play this clip also that you had one other clip here of Rupert trying to fight for more time in the debate? This is Rupert arguing that he should be allowed to speak again.
If you're elected governor, please tell us whether you would support or oppose the project and why. We begin with Mr. Gregg.
No, me.
Mr. Pence, I'm sorry.
No, me.
Mr. Bowen, yes, we moved. I'm sorry. I don't think
that's
we
okay.
looked. I one thing.
And who are you calling governor? Are you calling me governor?
Say, we don't.
No, anyway. Anyway.
They didn't call anybody governor.
Listen to the question.
If you're elected governor, please tell us whether you would support or oppose the project and why. We begin with Mr.
I think they're saying if you're elected governor, not if you're elected, governor.
That's a Hamilton quibble. Yeah, I have no idea. Rupert, he really sees what he wants to see. In that third debate, it's actually a little sad because he kind of is reckoning in real time that he's probably not going to be elected governor, but he continues to have like these motivating factors of like, when I'm elected governor, when?
And, When will that be?
Yeah, you worry for Rupert's sanity in those last 12 days or so.
Yeah. Well, then when Mike Pence went on to become the vice president, it seems like Rupert would have had another shot, but I don't think he relaunched the campaign.
Would you work on his behalf, Rob?
No, I think that we should leave politics to the professionals. I think we should leave it to the people that know what they're doing. That is my firm stance on this issue.
That is a take I have not heard this year, so I'm very happy someone's finally saying it, Rob. Good for you.
Yes. Okay. Vic, what is number six on the list?
Number six. Finally, we've come to it. It's Jerv TV time.
Yes.
I couldn't let this man sit in the cold. I couldn't include his role as a cartoon, but I couldn't ignore his contributions to his great work on Nick at Night when Jervis and some other Borneo contestants hosted a marathon for the television sitcom Three's Company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Rob, this is amazing. I pulled seven different clips. You have to have the seventh one. That's the dessert at the end of your meal. But you go as long as you want, because this is very simple.
Okay, this is like a Cool Hand Luke type scenario. Let's see how many of these I can take. Okay, here is, this is Jervis, this is Jenna Lewis, this is Kelly Wigglesworth and Rudy. And just to set this up, so I think that there was some sort of a marathon of the TV show Three's Company. And for our younger listeners, Three's Company, the premise there was a guy and he had two female roommates. He was played by the late, great John Ritter. And he had two female roommates, Janet and Chrissy were their names. And for some reason that their landlord, he wasn't allowed to be their roommate because they were worried that there was going to be something going on. So they had to tell the landlord that he was gay. Again, I don't really understand why that was part of the lease.
It was the 70s too.
Yeah. So he just wasn't allowed to live there if he wasn't their boyfriend or married to one of them. He wasn't allowed to just be their friend. So
right.
He had to tell the landlord that he was gay, and there was a lot of misunderstandings. And so here is a clip of why the Survivor contestants are hosting a marathon about Three's Company. I think that they might have done something like this with Gilligan's Island, and maybe it was a hit. So maybe they brought them back for Three's Company.
Oh, well, Gerb only has Three's Company.
Okay, so I don't know exactly how that worked. Okay, so here we go. It's the Three's Company Marathon on Nick at Night.
Welcome to Nick at Night's Three's Company Marathon, hosted by the cast of Survivor.
Okay, so that was just the intro. Okay,
to whet the appetite.
Yeah, so here's the first clip.
Keep shaking. It's about to fall.
Where am I? Who are you?
Oh, my gosh, he's got amnesia.
What?
I'm your husband. We're on our honeymoon.
You sure picked a beautiful place.
Jervis, what are you doing?
Jervis, get away from me.
Who's Jervis?
Did I win $1 million?
Okay, I couldn't really follow what's going on there. I don't remember a lot of coconuts falling on people's heads on Three's Company. So, well, let's just keep moving. Let's just move on. Maybe they get better from there.
Sure.
Down at our rendezvous.
Down at our rendezvous. Three's Company 2.
Jervis, what are you grinning at?
Oh, I'm just thinking about this fabulous date I had last night.
Boy, you're lucky. My date was rotten.
I don't believe this. Even on a deserted island, the two of you get dates.
Well, if you want a date, I can get you a date, but it won't be easy.
Why?
Well, the date tree over there is picked clean.
Care for a pick?
Yeah, that's like Three's Company humor there with the misunderstanding where
it's
funny
because it's bad.
Yeah, there'd be like a lot of scenarios where it's like Chrissy would be like baking bread and then Mr. Furley would come in like, hey, what's going on here? It's like, oh, nothing. Chrissy just has a bun in the oven. It's like, what? She's pregnant? What? And then the whole misunderstanding ensues.
Yeah. They do a good job because they actually make like a little island set for everyone to play in. I think they, paid $50 to rent the beach for the afternoon or something. But they do a good job here. It's pretty fun. And, of course, Rudy has not appeared yet, but he is the creme de la creme.
Okay, let's skip to Rudy.
Did you know that the human body can survive for weeks without food, but without Three's Company, your system will shut down? So keep watching the Three's Company Marathon on Nick at Night.
Rap, we gotta watch Three's Company.
How much did Rudy get from this thing?
I seen Jack Tripper and some of these girls that he's been with, and I don't think that he's a homosexual like Rich, Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No. These things, you take what you can. These are free commercial interstitials. But I did find one little piece that I think would be good for the Rob Has a Podcast soundboard. This comes from a clip we didn't see, but basically the setup of that Three's Company is who's married to who? Is Jenna married to Jervis? Is Kelly married to Jenna? Who knows? Jervis wants to see a little bit of action happen between the ladies. And then he says this thing.
Oh, I thought you were talking about having a secret alliance.
So the original sub-alliance is a secret alliance.
Don't let that fool you, baby. Don't let that fool you.
Okay. the human body can last for 3 days without food, but you will die instantly without checking out Jerv TV. I don't even know what Jerv TV is.
It's good stuff. Well, yeah, Jerv TV, it keeps giving. He's got his stuff on Letterman and his stuff on the Hughleys. There's a lot of Jerv TV to go around.
Okay. All right. Top five baby.
Top five, baby. Ooh, top five. Do the Tony. I just love the Tony so much.
Top five, baby. Top five, baby.
It's so good. Well, Rob, before we get to number five, could I get you to play something and then we just don't talk about it? We move on to the top five?
Of course. What do you want?
All right. Play G-O-A-T, top five, baby.
I'm Russell Hance. I'm Russell Hance. Because I'm Russell Hance. I'm Russell Hance. But hey, I'm Russell Hance.
You know, I found so many things. This didn't really make any sense, but yeah. Talking to my Tony.
I know you didn't want me to talk about that, but I believe that I even know what that is. That yeah. Johnny Fairplay used to make like sketch comedy videos. Again, call up David Sampson, that he is the Lauren Rimmer Michaels of comedy. And so that Johnny Fairplay used to do like skits during Survivor Heroes versus Villains, like on a website. And I think that was from one of them, right?
Right. He's on his knees. He's wearing the pork pie
hat. Yeah,
he's
doing like a dwarf on golf thing.
Right, right.
If
so,
I remember, Johnny Fairplay thought that was really hilarious.
I did too. So there you go. That's your bonus clip. Couldn't kick it out, but I couldn't keep it in either. So let's get to number five, Rob.
Okay.
This was the gift that kept on giving, because I think it's fair to say your career notwithstanding, Rob, reality TV has done a lot of terrible things in this world. But one undeniably great thing that reality TV has given us is the wonderful friendships that we've seen on these silly shows.
Yes.
Apologies to Rich and Rudy and Steven and JT, but my favorite relationship ever on a Survivor show is Big Tom and Lex.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pulled out their contributions to the world of reality television from the year 2013.
Yeah.
It's Buchanan Show Family Beef.
Yeah, we did a podcast about that. That I think that Lex was somehow like producing this show, and it was about life on Big Tom's farm.
Right. And not only was he a producer, he wrote the theme song for Family Beef.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a tasty jam all on its own. But this thing, whoever didn't pick this up, they made the greatest mistake of their lives. They do two episodes of Family Beef, and then it's gone into the Facebook ether. But I did track down the first episode in its entirety of Family Beef, Rob, and Big Tom is the funniest person who's ever lived.
Sure, sure. I spent 12 days with him one time. Even more than that, getting down to Survivor All-Stars. Big Tom's very funny. So what am I going to be playing?
Well, there's a lot of funny stuff. The show really kind of focuses on Big Tom and his relationship with his son, Bucky Bo. He is just as good as Tom here. There's a lot of stuff that was good. Maybe the best scene from this has to do when a calf is giving birth on the farm, and Bucky Bo and Big Tom do some play-by-play. So this one's called BT and Bo Watch a Cow Birth.
She's going to wire herself out.
You ever had 80 pounds come out of your ass?
There we go. There we go. There we go. There it comes.
See the head. I see the head. Come on, baby.
Now she's going to stand up.
I'm getting excited now.
Right. Come on, Allie. Come on, Allie.
Come on. Come on, baby.
Come on.
Drop.
Push.
See? Clear.
There we go.
Here you go, dog. Did you hear that moo? In other words, get up. He's up.
He's got one leg. There we go. He's standing free and tall.
Oh, boy. Now
he's going to find the booby.
Here's the
find
money.
That booby. There we go.
That's how
we make some money.
I don't care what you say. It's the start of new life on the farm. It's a breath of fresh air.
Oh, hell. It's a miracle.
You know, Big Tom, he can be as funny as possible, but he's a very emotional guy. So it's nice to see Big Tom spurt a little tears about the idea of a calf being born. I thought that was sweet.
Yeah. I like he's a, you ever have 80 pounds come out of your ass?
Play rock or baby. This is quick, but it pertains.
Okay. Rock or baby, like rock or octopus.
And she really don't know if she's a pooping a rock or having a baby.
Yeah. Which is it?
In the end, it was a baby, but Big Tom didn't know. I think he was asking the audience. Phone a friend.
It's a good question. It's a 50-50 ball, really.
So I just pulled a bunch of soundboard things from this. It's just Big Tom saying weird stuff. Okay. Play as many as you like.
Okay.
Oh, hell.
Yeah, that's a good one. He says,
our finances is stupid. It's crazy.
I don't know if I have a lot of use for that, but.
Good
I'm thinking.
God.
Come on, that's a catch all right there.
Yeah.
Morning, sunshine.
And then.
Show me the money.
Boy, Big Tom doing his Rod Tidwell impression.
Right, there you go. So, you know, you have all these things at your disposal. I don't know how often people... If you just played that out of context, I don't even know people would know that Big Tom said it. So, no idea. But Big Tom, he's very funny. The whole episode is dedicated to him and Bucky Bo trying to build a fence, which is, you know... So they have a thing where they can't figure out how long a foot is.
Yes. They don't have a ruler?
Yeah, they have a ruler, but Bucky Bo has sabotaged it. I think he ran over it with a lawnmower or something.
On purpose?
No, he wasn't trying to sabotage them, but he did end up sabotaging them.
Okay. So what is number four on your list, Vic?
All right, let's get to number four here. This one, you know, we've had a lot of clips here, Rob. I think a lot of them provide entertainment, maybe a little tear to the eye, some surprises, can't believe it. But I don't think anything else on this list captures mystery, Rob.
Ooh.
So with number four, I'd like to tantalize you and maybe pull some answers out of you if possible. I don't know, maybe you know. What's the deal with Boston Rob's reality show, Tontine?
Yeah, very mysterious. Okay. So Boston Rob, I think, was going to host a reality game show at one point. I think this might have been post like Rob and Amber on The Amazing Race, but pre Survivor Heroes versus Villains. And it was marketed in a very mysterious way.
This is I can't tell you if it's a reality show, if this is a cash grab by Rob doing some appearances at malls, or if this is some kind of D movie. I just don't understand. But I pulled a couple things. Yeah. Maybe they'll enlighten us and maybe they won't.
OK. All right. So what clip should I play, Vic?
Let's play the Tontine deposition, because this thing went to court.
OK.
Sir, what was your role on Tontine?
I was an executive producer on the show. Rob Mariano, he was the host of the show, was he not?
He was the host of the show.
And where was Rob Mariano when the accident occurred?
He was not on set. The host of the show. He was flown in at certain points, and he would do his host gig, and he would leave. Let me take a step back. You cast people who have very interesting, provocative, loud personalities, who are very competitive, who will stop at nothing to win the show.
Let's discuss the series of events that led to the disappearance and unnecessary death of these folks.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. That just for the sake of not having confusion, like I don't think that this is real. I think that this was part of the marketing campaign for the show. I just want to be clear. I think there's a lot of people that are hearing about this for the first time and don't know what's going on, and we don't even know what's going on.
Rob, I think 16 people died off the coast of Borneo as Rob doing a Jeff Probst cosplay.
Smarten up. I wasn't there that day.
He wasn't there. So anyway, the pitch here for Tontine, Rob goes in a bunch of shows to explain this, but basically Tontine is the biggest reality prize of all time. $10 million goes to the winner. But how you get there is you have to put up your life savings and liquidate all your assets to get in the game.
I think Mike Scoopin was working on a similar project.
You got to do your research to find out that's true.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how real that was. On the internet, there is just loads of Rob goes to all these cities and he interviews real people. They want to get on the Tontine. He goes on all these like morning shows and radio appearances. He talks to real people. There's even some controversy. If you want to bring this one, number three on the Boston Rob set list, when Rob has an interaction with an applicant.
Reality TV can sometimes be a tough business. The man who became famous on Survivor, as Boston Rob knows it. And now that he's producing a reality show of his own, he's found out about it firsthand when a would-be contestant got physical with him. Let's try it now with the exclusive video.
Now, Rob's blend of charm and cunning has landed him a job hosting his own reality show called Tontine. It was at an open casting call in San Diego that things got ugly. A potential contestant heckles Rob and throws water on him. Rob tries to convince the man to leave. When the man continues his tirade and shoves Rob, the Survivor star loses it. I spoke to him by phone.
What was the breaking point that made you slug him?
I don't want to repeat the actual words, but there was a point where it went from being annoying and obnoxious to rude and personal. Everybody has a line, and he pushed me past that line.
Rob told me the man was outraged when he learned the real premise of the show, which has contestants sign over their life savings in hopes of winning the collective savings of everyone involved.
This guy was turned off by the whole fact that they're asking him to put up basically everything he's worked for. You know, he couldn't handle it.
With his new status as a host, Boston Rob thought his days of reality TV squabbles were behind him.
When you're in the public eye, you got to know that you're always going to be a target. Are you concerned about a lawsuit?
Of course I'm concerned. I'm not happy about what happened.
Oh, this is real, Rob.
You know, it turns out the guy told me that I was the Rob that sucks, and I really made me so mad.
But, you know, there's no way that Rob got himself into this mess just for some, you know, independent film. Rob, these people are dead. We have to investigate their murder.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I don't know if the whole thing was fake. I don't know if it was even a game. I don't know.
Maybe they ran out of money, but I don't know. This seemed like it was destined for greatness. Yeah. I'd put up everything I'm worth because I'm worth nothing.
Yeah, why not? You got nothing to lose. Yeah,
exactly.
It still is a mystery. And I'm not talking about the dating coach that Stephen Fishback swears by.
There you go. Boston Rob. It's always happy. Well, you know, he had so many choices. I went with the weirdest one. Tontine, go on YouTube. You'll have hours of fun.
We're up to our top three, baby.
Top three, baby. All right. This one was never not on the list. This one came to me actually after watching a little bit of old The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I'm doing a podcast on that, and during which he mocks the all the Survivor contestants during the year 2000. But the thing that bothered him the most was when Sue Hawk got to guest host the Regis show. Yes. In the summer of 2000. And a certain guest popped by.
Why did this bother Jon Stewart?
It bothered him so much because, of course, his future nemesis would be President George W. Bush. And that's exactly who Sue Hawk gets to interview. John, he'll never get close to George W. Bush, never get to talk to the man, ask him his questions. But Sue Hawk gets 7 minutes to basically interrupt Regis as he attempts to ask questions of the future president.
So I remember this pretty vividly because I was a huge Survivor fan back in 2000. And so I think that the finale of the show, it's like late August. And so those survivors were all, you know, really huge. They were everywhere. And this was at the point where Kathy Lee had left. This was pre-Kelly Ripa. And they were trying out a lot of different people on Live with Regis. And Regis was also red hot because Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was on the air. And so I think that they did a week of, like, they had like a week of Survivor people hosting with Regis in the morning. And so they got to a point and they had George W. Bush, candidate George W. Bush, that he was going to appear with Regis and Sue Hawk. And here is we're going to play this first clip.
This one, the audio is really bad. Somebody, you know, tape this off a TV. I think the funniest thing.
All right, let's see how bad.
Sure, okay.
Exciting, huh?
It is. This is awesome.
You could be sitting with the next president of the United States. Do you know that?
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Of course.
He could be the next one. He could be next. Boston or I or you would have a chance to be. Yeah.
I'm telling you, too much time on that island.
Sue Hawk, can you believe it? We're sitting here. We could be talking to the president of the United States.
Oh,
Reach. Come on, Reach. Come on. This guy, he's not going to win. Al Gore, he's going to win the presidency. What are you talking about?
Can you do Bush? Can you do all three?
You probably got a really crappy one. All right. So here is you have a clip of that Sue Hawk is talking to George W. Bush about horses.
Right. So Bush has brought a bunch of pictures to humanize him for the audience. So he brings him as a baby or with his kids playing baseball. But the big one happens when he brings out he rides a Colby Donaldson-esque horse. And Sue, instead of letting George tell his story, Sue just talks about her horse.
Oh,
He's on his
You remember
pony.
That pony's name?
Widowmaker.
Oh, wow. I remember my first pony's name. Sugar.
You had a pony?
I had a pony. 8 years old, had a pony. Sugar.
Sugar. What happened to
In
him?
Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. I had her for the longest time.
Then we got to my head of cellar. I cried so hard. It was terrible. It was hardest thing I ever did.
Go ahead, you got a bit?
Why didn't you bring Rudy on? I love that guy.
I wish we could have had Rudy.
Rudy's on Thursday.
Live with Regent Rude. Oh, no, you don't want Rudy. Trust me. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You need me. I should be the co-host. Forget Kelly Ripa.
Cut to Thursday. Al Gore is there with Regis and Rudy. We'll have a lockbox. That wasn't good. But I wanted you to do Rudy. That's what that really you could do the whole Borneo lineup, Rob.
Yeah, this was really a wild scene. I just remember just being taken aback where I was like, wow, I can't believe this. Sue Hawk is talking to a presidential candidate, even in the moment. It's like this is surreal in 2017, but it was surreal in 2000. It was surreal. She was on with Regis.
It's crazy. I mean, she's,
it's not even on the same network.
You forget that they're real. But the idea that Sue Hawk met President Bush before a lot of news people did at the same time Regis did. It's very crazy.
Mm-hmm. This isn't corporate America. We're out here in the George W. Bush. Just like I told Richard.
Richard actually appears the next day with John Stewart himself. So you got that all tied together.
Wow. It all happened.
It all happened. So number three on the list, Sue Hawk, Regis, and a president.
Okay. Well, what a number three. How could we beat that?
It's going to be tough. But for these last two, oh, they're so good. It's a coin flip between them. I went back and forth. But number two, this is just a testament to the power of personality. Because, Survivor, Rob, it makes legends, myths in our modern world. And this sometimes gets into the head of young writers, screenwriters, potentially. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened.
Is this another Cochran clip?
No more Cochran. But Cochran's mentor, one Mr. Coach Benjamin Wade,
yes,
starred in a little indie called 180.
Yes.
I can't believe this happened. This is amazing. An entire movie built around the coach persona, and then taken to 15 on the Spinal Tap scale. It's crazy.
Right. Okay. What are you going to play for us here, Vic, from the film 180?
So if you don't know 180, Coach plays a rock god, Gavin Larson. He's been boozing and pill popping for too long. But I think maybe the funniest scene happens at the very beginning when Coach talks to some kid breakdancing at an airport. You know, that classic scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach extols some wisdom in Coach and the Kid.
Coach and the Kid.
What are you doing on your head?
Practicing my moves.
What are you? Gymnasticist?
No. I'm a breakdancer for hire. What kind of beats are you?
You ever heard of zebras?
Nah. They any good?
Epic.
Sounds tight as a screw right there.
Epic tight.
Is the whole CD like this right here?
Top to bottom, buddy boy.
Coach, wait, I don't even know what he's talking about.
This tape right here, that kid really steals the scene there.
Epic tight, I think.
Yeah, epic tight.
Epic tight.
Did you ever think you'd hear Coach say epic tight?
Epic tight.
Wow. Rob, I know you do the Coach impression. It's one of your better ones, and I think it gets less play than the rest. So hopefully we can inspire you. I did a supercut of the best you can't believe Coach just said this moments from 180. I went through the whole movie, pulled out the best lines. I call this 21 things you never thought you'd hear Coach say.
Okay.
If you want to play that.
21 things you never thought you'd hear Coach say. Okay, here we go. 21 things.
Move with me a sec, kid.
Wait, I'm only 38.
What does that have to do with the price of tea in Japan? I want to do happy stuff.
Easy there, champ. I'm just yanking your chain. Like a hungry bear or something. Eating hot dogs right off the grill.
I'm not talking about that gay-ass marching band stuff either.
Oh, no.
You're the best
19-year-old 10th grade drummer I'd ever seen.
That is not a sock down there.
I'm just saying, man, she was more dude than chick.
Oh, no.
Totally checking her out. Hell no, man. That's me. I got the fat suit and the hair out in the trunk.
Tell your mom that you need the bus, because you're going to take a bunch of tardy little campers on a week-long excursion to the mountains. Faith is the lesbo on the left.
Nope.
I was like one of those three-year-olds to call 911. It's galloping zebras, and it's beautiful. I'm living proof that kids can be heroes.
Please help me with those cool little posters and stickers and thingies that you're so good at doing.
I can't stop the flow once it starts. And the ladies are gonna love it.
The life of an artist.
Call Dr. Mike about that flow issue, coach.
Yeah, I think that's good. If you ever have a pee break, Rob, you can just play that, replace the song.
Coach, I can get that fixed for you. No problem.
Yeah, I know. It's a little un-PC. The movie is littered with this stuff. I try not to pull the ones that would really, you know, some of that probably is upsetting.
Play an edgy character, Coach.
Yeah, but you can't sleep on the idea that Coach is not alone in 180. He has a co-star and also a Survivor alumni. We mentioned her name earlier.
Yes.
It's the real Danielle DiLorenzo.
Double D. Here she is. Okay, which clip from Coach and Danielle are we going to play?
I think we can talk about, let's play Drunk Coach, because okay. Coach, he messes up Danielle's wedding, and also Coach, he's never seen a drunk person before, so...
Okay.
Look, everyone, you're on my show. Flash everyone your wedding boobies.
Why are you doing this?
Give Daddy a kiss.
Get the hell out of here.
We'll have a 2-4 Tuesday. Get it?
God!
I will always remember this day. The day you had the violence on me.
That's Coach acting drunk in the movie.
2-4 Tuesday. Get it?
Yeah, Coach sounds like Adam Sandler when he's drunk. I would like to have a little drink of wine.
So hot, Danielle DiLorenzo, captain of sports.
I didn't make the list, but Danielle DiLorenzo had an aspiring epic adventure series that just never got off the ground. She really did host
maybe
the Captain.
Part two.
Part two, maybe. But this is amazing because Danielle DiLorenzo is forced to kiss Coach in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But she continually says that she will not, but then she does.
I'm not your manager, and we're never having sex. But I'm so sorry this happened. We're not going to hook up. It's not going to happen.
I wasn't.
So if you're here because you think there's even a remote chance of us getting back together, you're sadly mistaken. I'm married. I think you've had a little too much to drink tonight.
Yes, that's all I want. That, and maybe a little sex.
Gavin.
Coach is going full Michael Scott here.
Y'all baby cakes, y'all can have your way.
This is, it's uncomfortable to watch if you're a Survivor fan. It's uncomfortable to watch if you're a cinema fan.
If
so.
You're not a Survivor
fan. Yeah.
I'll have you know, that film got rave reviews. Certified fresh.
So there's so many things you could pull from this film, Rob. It's amazing that it got made. But I think for the soundboard, I think there's one gif that Coach has given you that you didn't even know, Rob, because I've listened to the Rob Hattis podcast. People are always asking, when are you going back on Survivor? And your answer is always kind of like, you do a little Jay Leno.
In that voice?
Yeah, you do. I don't know about this.
Well, you know, I'm doing this podcast thing.
Coach has written you an alibi, Rob, and I pulled it here. It's going to make perfect sense, I hope.
Okay.
I'm right where I need to be. It's your turn now, friend.
Thank you, Coach.
It's your turn, friend.
Is it my turn?
No, me.
Mr. Pence, I'm sorry.
No, me.
Mr. Bond, yes, we moved. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. 180. You watched the whole movie of 180?
I watched this movie 3 times, Rob.
Why?
I feel sick. Well, because I had to watch it to make sure it was good. And the second time I watched it to find those key moments. And then I had to just watch it all again when I was editing this thing. You know, I pulled all the Danielle clips into one package. I did this for your benefit, Rob. Now you don't have to watch 180.
Okay. All right. One clip left.
And how could it be? You know, I feel bad, Rob, because the paper has won out. When we announced this, you probably, if you're thinking, it's won out. No, not Wanda. It's won out. This is the probably the most obvious pick for the number one castaway cameos. But it's so good. How could it not be? The year was 2004. There is a little show I think you might have heard of, Rob, called Curb Your Enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And they got one Colby Donaldson to appear on an episode called The Survivor.
Very famous episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. What clip are we going to play?
It stair-step progresses. If you want to just do the first one, that's where they meet Colby. The second one is where we meet the other character. And then the third one is the conflict.
Larry.
Hello, Rabbi.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Colby.
Hi, Larry. Nice to meet you. Where's this survivor?
What? He's the survivor. From the television show.
I was over in Australia.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Seinfeld.
He really is. Yeah.
How is Jerry?
He's good.
Yeah? Is he still doing stand-up?
Yeah. For anybody who has not ever seen that episode, Larry David is under the impression that he is going to be meeting a survivor of the Holocaust, and that his rabbi is telling him, oh, I'm going to introduce you to a survivor, and he's assuming that it's going to be a survivor of the Holocaust, and then the rabbi brings out Colby.
Do you think Larry David would work for David Samson on the new SNL?
Well, he couldn't hack it on the real SNL, so maybe he can work on the Lauren Rimmer Michaels SNL.
And Rimmer Michaels. So we actually get to meet the real Holocaust survivor in Colby number 2.
Hello, Sally. Hey, good to see you.
You too.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful house.
Oh, thank beautiful. You. Thank you.
There's going to be a dinner?
Oh, the big dinner. Delicious dinner.
I like it. Listen, where's the other survivor?
Is that a tall guy over there? He's from the television show. Survivor?
What?
The big confusion.
Yep. A classic Curb situation. Things are not as Larry expects. And this really comes to a head when Colby and Solly, they fight at the dinner table and it's ugly.
So here we are in a region of Australia where out of the world's 10 most deadly snakes, 9 of them inhabit this region.
Oh.
It was harrowing. You come across a taipan on the trail, you get bit. You're dead. Oh. 30 minutes flat.
Boy, I'll tell you, that's a very interesting story. Let me tell you. I was in a concentration camp. You never even suffered 1 minute in your life compared to what I went through.
Look, I'm saying we spent 42 days trying to survive. We had very little rations, no snacks.
Snacks.
We had day zero. We had day zero.
What are you talking snacks? We didn't eat sometimes for a week, for a month. No. We weighed nothing. I went from home.
I mean, I couldn't even work out when I was over there. They certainly didn't have a gym.
What?
I mean, I wore my sneakers out, and then the next thing you know, I've got a pair of flip-flops.
Flip-flops?
We slip on the ground, on the dirt. Okay, 118 degrees during the day, 98 at night with 98% humidity.
45 degrees below zero.
Did you guys have a bathroom?
A bathroom?
We didn't have one.
We had 12 people at a time would go and shit.
Well, I'm sure you had toilet paper.
We had newspaper.
We had mosquitoes.
You see this glass eye? Huh? Huh?
Well, have you even seen the show?
Did you ever see our show? It was called The Holocaust.
Look, all I know is I was damn close to that $1 million, all right? And the whole time, everyone's backstabbing me and undermining me, trying to get me kicked off the show.
You don't know nothing yourself about here. Survival. I'm a survivor.
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 So there you go. In its entirety.
Now, hold on. I got my date is here. Her name is Mad Dog Hershey. Hey, everybody. Larry, I'm here.
You're not the survivor.
Who wants to hear a didgeridoo?
Please, Rob.
How do you like that
Look
song?
What can we push you to? The madness. So
you know, you can't really spell rabid dog without rabbi.
There you go. 201 is waiting you, Rob.
Okay. There you go.
So for the soundboard, the big thing I think you got to have here is people are always coming on your show and saying, you know, back when I played Survivor, you know, it wasn't as easy. It's plush out there. So I think the I'm a Survivor cut is useful.
I'm a survivor.
I'm a survivor.
I'm a survivor.
I'm a survivor.
Colby had to wear flip-flops.
No snacks out there, Rob.
No snacks.
No snacks.
Boy, the Colbster, right. So much airtime on RJP lately.
Are you going to get him back? Can you will Colby onto a returning season?
Who knows? Who knows? He said he wanted to come back when we talked to him back in the Austin show.
Yeah, Colby's one of the people that you can build a season around. I'd be okay. You could do the coaches thing again. Mm-hmm. Who's Colby's alternative?
On the other side, is it Larry David? Is it this rabbi?
It's got to be Sully, right? Yeah.
So who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
And good transition from going from the clips of Danielle DiLorenzo to the Colby clips. And we didn't even stop for Treasure Island in the middle.
I think a Jervis would be into that, right?
Yeah. Well, Vic, what a list you've put together here for us today.
Did it work for you? Was this enough nostalgia for you?
I do love the nostalgia. We had so much fun. We got to talk about so many different repressed memories that I've had over my life of covering all of these things.
Well, Rob, this was such a thrill for me. You know, again, I've heard your voice more than probably my parents' voices. So it's fun to hear you
well,
say my name.
I have no idea what kind of a childhood you had, so that could really go either way.
It's rough. It was rough. but again, thank you so much for letting me do all this silly Survivor stuff on your show.
Okay. Vic, of course, is the host of the Hail Satire podcast. If people want to see more about what you're doing, Vic, where do people go?
Well, I'm hoping this is a better bump than R.S. got way back when, but I'm at Vic Shunti on Twitter and Instagram. That's S-H-U-T-T-E-E for my last name, V-I-C. I do everything on HailSatire.com. We just released our second. We've been doing this big. It's never been done, Rob. We're watching the entire run of Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. 16 years. We're rewatching a talk show. Well,
why not? It's for that.
I did. It's the birth of American satire in my mind, and very much inspired by your evolution of strategy, how deep you went on Survivor, trying to do that with The Daily Show. So we just released our second 2000 in review audiobook. It's like 15 hours.
It's audiobook of all about the Jon Stewart Daily Show. Why didn't you start with the Craig Kilborn Daily Show?
You know, those clips are harder to find, but also probably bad, but I don't know. I haven't seen them. It's a guess.
No, I like the Craig Kilborn Daily Show, too. But where do you watch the Daily Show episodes?
They're all on Comedy Central's website for now. I feel like if the show gets too popular, it's going to be gone. They're going to be like, this isn't worth the bandwidth or whatever. But right now, every episode of Jon Stewart is on CC.com. And so me and my buddy, we spent a year of our lives watching. So far, it's something like 340 episodes of The Daily Show.
Okay, so give us the tease. Why should somebody, the birth of American satire, but what have you found in watching a year of The Daily Show?
Well, it's really kind of a time capsule. You get to go back to the year 1999 and then 2000, see what was important and what is held up over the time. And really what we found is a lot of the stuff that's going on in our culture right now that seems so unprecedented and weird is completely foreshadowed in the early ones. We're talking about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump and reality television and most of it holds up. And the performances, you know, SNL gets all the superlatives as far as being the great institution of comedy in America. But The Daily Show, in the beginning, it has Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell, Ellen DeGeneres' brother Vance. There's a lot of funny people. So it's great to go back and learn how this comedy is put together before it's, you know, an institution.
Okay. And then how long will it take you to reach the end of the Jon Stewart Daily Show? What is that, 2016?
Yeah, so he ends in 2015, so it's about 16 or so years. We're doing two seasons a year, so we did 99 in 2000 and Mir 2017. So by that math, we'll be done by 2024.
Okay, all right, well, best of
it's
luck.
It's chaotic.
If you have time, maybe, then we may get into part two of this list. So please give us your feedback and let us know if this is something you would like to hear more of on the podcast. Of course, you could follow Vic on social media, and you can let us know in the comments on robisawebsite.com as well. Vic, what is the hashtag today?
God, you had so many. What was it's Lauren Rimmer Michaels. That's a front runner in my mind.
Yeah. We have Jerv TV. We also have FOM.
Oh, that was deep. We have Marilyn Mad Dog, or should maybe Hot Dog.
Yeah. Hot Dog or Rabbit. Let's go with Rabbit Dog.
Rabbit Dog. You want to go to Rabbit Dog? All right. Yeah. Tie it into Breaking Bad as well.
Good. Go with Rabbit Dog. All right. And Vic, right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate all the work you put into this.
Thank you. You made the work worth it with your fun impressions. That's what I live for, Rob.
Is that your final answer?
Yes. Lock it in.
Oh, no. You should have gone with somebody else.
You're dogging me out over here, Rob. On national podcast television.
I was pissed, Reach.
Okay. Too much time on that island.
All right. Vic, thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks so much.